Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have been sojourning in the book of Obadiah, the shortest book of the Old Testament, 21 verses all total, a book about God's judgment primarily upon the nation of Edom because of their transgressions against God's people Israel. But it's more than that. It also talks about God's judgment upon all the nations. And then it also talks about God's mercy. Incredible mercy, amazing mercy that God extends to those who are worthy of judgment, of condemnation, but nevertheless, God in His mercy provides a way of salvation. And all of that in the book. And beyond that, there are some practical lessons to be found in the book if we can have eyes to see them, if the Holy Spirit will help us to understand how that some of the attitudes and actions and transgressions of the nation of Edom are repeated among the people of God today, but we don't always recognize these things because we don't want to. We don't want to look too closely. We don't want to admit that there may be some parallels to our own thinking and our own attitudes, which are wrong. So those are some of the things that we are examining, and we'll continue doing that on the Beacon Broadcast today, which is Monday, May 25. We're glad that you were able to join us, and we're so grateful for those whose financial gifts sustain us. Well, after talking about lesson number one, the trustworthiness of Scripture, and lesson number two, the obligations of brotherhood, we have been spending some extended time talking about lesson number three, the deceitfulness of sin. And over the last couple of broadcasts, we have examined the deceptive sense of entitlement that sin often fosters within the human heart. But leaving that behind, I want to move on to another aspect of the deceitful nature of sin, and that is its degenerative power. Sin always pushes us on a downward slide. Now again, we've seen that in the case of Edom. Remember those eight steps? We've been looking at them quite a bit. Started out with they're just simply passively standing by while Babylon invaded Israel. And then they went from standing by to entertaining delightful thoughts in their heart, and since they didn't check those, then the next thing was their gleeful words of commendation to Babylon for attacking Israel, words that now reflected the wrong attitude of their heart, and on it goes all the way until eventually they get to the place, they entered the gate of the city and looked upon what was going on, and then they actually entered into stealing the things that were there, plundering the city and feeling like they were entitled to some of the loot, and eventually got to the place where they raised their own weapons in warfare against their brother Israel. And that's what verse 10 is talking about. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. They came to the place where in involving themselves in violence, acting in violence against Israel, they incurred the severe judgment of God, which eventuated in their utter destruction. They should be cut off forever, which is exactly what happened. But that was not what happened immediately. The first step wasn't to take up their swords and start plunging them into the bodies of Israelites. Their first step was to fail to come to the aid of their brother when they had a responsibility to do that, just watching someone else attack him, and they're not doing anything to stop it. And that was that sense of entitlement that we talked about yesterday and the day before. But now I want you to see how this plays out in the degenerative power of sin, the downward slide of sin. And we can cover this pretty quickly, but they went from passive indifference to violent destruction. Not all in one step. It was 8 steps that are documented for us here, but that's what happened. From passive indifference, they went down, 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 until eventually they reached the level of violent destruction against Israel. Incremental steps, each one justified as reasonable. I've got a right to my own privacy, my own inactivity if I don't feel like doing anything. That seemed justified. I've got a right to hold my own opinion. That seemed justified. I've got a right to express my opinion if I want to. This is a free country. I can express my free speech. That seemed reasonable and justifiable. I have a right to watch what I want to watch as they actually entered into the city of Jerusalem and gazed upon the destruction that was taking place. I've got a right to my share of the wealth, they said, when they started plundering the people of Israel, until eventually they could even justify taking up their sword against their brothers. Incremental steps, each justified as reasonable. They never would have gone from the first one to the last one in one leap, but they did it incrementally. Little by little by little, each step taking them a little bit further downward, and each step ignoring God's truth, in each step leaning upon human wisdom instead of upon divine revelation, until the unthinkable became the actual. Until what would have been unthinkable at the beginning became reasonable at the end. And isn't that the way sin is? I don't think anybody decides to murder someone all in one day. I don't know the mind of everybody who's ever murdered, but I don't think that normally happens that way. But over a period of time, it becomes justified. You start rehearsing what that person has done to harm you, what they have done that was unjust to you, and how they ought to pay for that. And they seem to be getting by with it, and nobody seems to be holding them accountable. And little by little by little, entertaining thoughts that are wrong, wrong, wrong. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. The truth of Scripture would pull a person back from the brink at many of these steps along the way, but when that does not happen, when we don't look to the Word of God to correct us, to inform us, to restrain us, to guide us, then eventually, in this downward slide, this degenerative power of sin, eventually, the unthinkable becomes the actual. That's always what happens. And the direction of sin is always downward, and sinfulness always takes us farther than we thought we would ever go. It takes us farther than we intended. That's the power of sin. That's the nature of sin. That's why sin needs to be dealt with immediately. When we ignore it in its smaller forms, then it just grows larger. It's like a monster. When you feed it, it grows. It's like every now and then you'll read about somebody who took into their home a wild animal for a pet. I mean, they were so small and so little and so cute. I can take this lion cub and make it love me. I'll love it. It'll love me, and I'll teach it to be different. I know that in the wild it's a dangerous animal, but it is so cute and cuddly, and I can do that, and it'll be safe, but it grows. It grows. And how many times we have read about somebody who did something like that, and then unexpectedly one day that animal turns on them and kills them. They didn't expect that. They thought that there would be a different result. Well, what makes you think that you are the one person in all the world who is the exception to the obvious rule that a destructive wild animal is a dangerous animal to have around? You don't have things like that as pets. For pets, we have domesticated animals. Even occasionally they'll turn on us unexpectedly. Cats and dogs. I saw a video some time ago now of a babysitter, a grown woman who was babysitting, and she knocked over the milk, or maybe the little child, the two-year-old child, knocked over the milk and started to cry. And the family cat came in and attacked the babysitter, because apparently the cat was under the impression that the babysitter was harming the baby. The baby was crying. And it was a vicious attack. Fortunately, she was able to grab the child and run to another room and close the door for safety. But that was a domesticated animal. How foolish it is for someone to take a wild animal and think that you can play with that. I just can't understand that. But that's the way sin is. Sin is deceptive. Sin deceives. And sin comes to us in incremental steps. The little lion cub is cute and cuddly. And as long as it's a cub, it's fine. But it grows. It grows. It grows. It doesn't stay a cub forever. It grows. And when it becomes a full-grown lion, if it becomes hungry or if it becomes irritated, it is just as likely to slash and slay its owner as anybody else. That's the nature of it. It's just doing what the nature of a grown lion is. And that's the nature of sin. It just does what sin does. And we don't dare let it grow. We've got to deal with it when it's small. It's dangerous when it's small. And if we'll understand that and deal with it, then we won't be damaged or destroyed by it later on. But if we are deceived and don't understand the degenerative power of sin and the downward slide of sin and how little steps will take us slowly, slowly, slowly to a place we never thought we would have ended up. Talk to the alcoholic. He never intended to be that way. Just enjoying his alcohol, and then a little bit too much, and a little bit too much, and a little bit too much, and one day he's caught. He's addicted. He's ruined. That's the way sin is. We need to understand that and obey the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.